Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Luigi. Ho-ho! I don't like to brag too much, but this is the year of Luigi.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here. Happy New Year to you, Tommy, and Auld Lang Syne to the third member of this podcast.
It's me, Adam Lang Syne. Adam Knox. Mm-hmm. What does Auld Lang Syne mean?
Something like to old friends or something, or like something like that.
Yeah, right. Like a cheers, a hooray, a huzzah. We're back in different houses.
Yeah.
Hip, what do you call hooray. It? What do you call it if you're during the New Year's Eve countdown? You're listening to the song "Constant Craving."
I don't know, Tommy. What do you call that?
KD Lang Syne.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay.
The fever's kicking in. I'm feeling good.
What do you call it if you are celebrating New Year's as a primate in the jungles of Indonesia? Orangutan Lang Syne.
Orangutan Lang Syne.
I just thought of the first word,
the jungle,
that rhymed a bit with the middle.
Orangutan Land.
What do you call it if you're a Game Boy game based on a hit console franchise and it's New Year's? Super
Donkey
Mario
Kong.
No, it's a, well, yeah, you could actually, yeah.
Donkey Kong Land Syne.
Super Mario Land Syne.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah. I still had chimps on the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
From Sorry the beautiful to have, one before.
Ended our podcast in 2022 already. I apologize for ruining everything so early in the year.
Well, Auld Lang Syne translates to the good old days, and I'm wishing we were back in them right now after that series of misjudged riffs. But we do have some more looking back to do. We can't move on to 2022 yet, because one thing we said we'd do, and we will do, because we do what we say we'll do, is count down our listener poll top games of last year. We did our games on the last 2 weeks. We did our top tens, and then we collated them into one overall, which I think was a fun and innovative thing that we've never done before.
Yep.
Very innovative, having the whole team come together and pick. Yeah, yeah, pretty smart. Yeah.
For content. Listing things for content and then combining.
Innovation just within the one organization is still innovation. It's like when a fast food.
We should say, Tommy has COVID. That's why we're in separate houses. He's doing his best.
I've got a lot of the symptoms, and I'm waiting for a PCR test result.
Yes.
It stands for pretty chody rod test. So I've had to go through a drive-in clinic and give them a look at it. And then it's currently being analysed by the boffins in at St. Vincent's. And then
what analysis? What analysis? You can't do it with
test? Why is it taking so long? Yeah. Why is there a backlog? Why is it taking 4 days?
Can't
they do that on site?
Very, very similar to the COVID test, but they just test whether or not it can swab the back of your throat. And then that is the metric that they use.
Yeah. The chode test should be short. It should be short by definition.
But yeah, currently, at least in Melbourne, about 1 in 3 people seems to have COVID. And based on the hosts of this podcast, that statistic seems accurate.
Every podcast has 3 hosts, the same 3 hosts, and 1 has COVID.
Yeah.
1 has COVID, yeah. If you want to do the test at home for the PCR, the pretty chody rod, you can do the at-home version, which is the... the squashed rat test.
Yeah.
You just press it up against your window and get your neighbour to have a look.
Right,
but they're impossible to come by at the moment. No neighbours outside because they've all got COVID and they're inside isolating. Mm. So that's the position that we're in.
But all the people who voted in our poll, thank you very much for doing that. And we do have official results. Unlike Tommy, we've got official Game of the Year, listener, subscribe people. That this is on, was in our Patreon group too.
Yes. Yeah.
It's worth
pointing out. If you want to have your voice heard, you have to become a donor, which is how politics works in real life.
Yeah.
Great ad. If you listen to this and you're furious, you can change the result of this next year.
Yeah. I'm furious about it because, you pointed this out, I think, in our chat, Nox. It's, or maybe on the thread. It's basically, it's almost the direct inverse to our own top 10, but
it's... Yeah, close to being flipped on its head. So it's good to know that for whatever reason, the people who listen to this podcast think in completely the different direction to us and don't agree with us at all.
Yes.
Which is why very confused.
Yeah, but, that's why I listen to Joe Rogan, you know, to get an opposite opinion to mine.
Oh, cool.
Just to hear all the options.
Well, this is, I guess, in that case, if he is also the opposite opinion to you and this is our opposite list, this is Joe Rogan's official top 10 games of the year.
I love that's the branding, from now on. Yeah. Every
number
year.
10.
Brought to you by DMT.
Number 10, watching a video of like a moose kick someone. Number 9, getting somebody with crazy, bizarre, fringe beliefs on and calling it a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number 8, Invermectum.
Yep.
Number 7.
Number 7, cleaning your room or whatever Jordan Peterson says to do.
The real number 10, though. So, there's a couple of ones that got the same number of votes, so I've put them together. But in the other ones, we've got number 10 was The Forgotten City. Which we'll talk about a bit more next week. We're going to catch up over our holiday reading next week, and both of you have been playing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very excited to talk about it.
Me too. Yeah. Number 9, Death's Door.
Mm-hmm.
Great game. Well done. Number 8, Hitman 3. Which I think this came up at the time for us that it was on one of our lists, maybe yours, Ben.
Yeah, it was like 9 for me. Yeah. Yeah.
And both Tommy and me, I think, kind of noted that it was really good, but for whatever reason, it just didn't stick in our brains, right?
I think too, this list kind of speaks to us for the pod, we play most of the big things that come out. We try to play as much stuff as we can.
Mm.
And so we kind of have the opportunity for more stuff to stick with us because we're going... Well, we're going to try and play, most of the things that come out for this podcast. Mm-hmm. But this list speaks to the reality of most people that play games, which is you really pick and choose what you're going to play. You go in on something because you are pretty sure you're going to get the return on investment, and then you maybe just stick with it for a few months.
Mm.
So a game like Hitman 3 coming out at the start of the year, kind of it's good enough to be in a top 10 for sure, but I think it bounced off our list, Adam, because we played so much during the year.
Yeah.
But on listeners' overall top 10s, there would have been plenty of people who it was one of the few things that they played for the year.
Mm.
And certainly as a value for money thing, it seems like there's so much to do in that game. So, it's not hard to see why it would have been high ranking for a lot of people.
And Tommy, the numbers back you up.
Finally.
Speaking of numbers, number 7, Inscription. A very good game, very high on our lists.
Yeah, my number 1, and I think it was our combined number 1 because we all had it, thereabouts. Very creative game, but it was an indie game. Not everyone played it, and then therefore not everyone had an opinion on it.
Which you've got to. You've got to have an opinion on everything.
That's
the key thing about being a fun person to talk to.
Totally.
Is to have an opinion about everything.
Have it recorded, because then you'll live forever. In your opinions. Mm-hmm. That's
this
why
is
I
us
do it.
Putting our heads into cryogenesis like Walt Disney here.
This is our legacy, boys, talking over each other about video games.
Granddad, what did your dad think of It Takes Two? Well, son, he wouldn't have put it at number 6 on his list of best games of the year, but that is what the listeners did, along with Returnal, equal number 6.
Right.
Yep.
Deathloop and Forza Horizon 5 coming in at place number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Metroid Dread, spooky. Number 4. which I think it was surprisingly high for me, because I remember seeing the chatter about that sort of, I think from our listeners and stuff, being that a lot of people were finding it a bit hard and a bit like, it didn't seem at the time to me like people were as into it as that.
People were loving it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But you know what? If you were loving it or just liking it, you probably weren't jumping in on the conversations about disliking it. You probably were just playing it.
You weren't, yeah, you didn't have time to be in the Patreon Facebook group. Too busy trying to find that damn morph ball.
There you go.
Look at us rediscovering internet stuff like echo chambers just then and Joe Rogan. And it's nice to be back on the internet in a way.
Yes.
Number three, the frog in a blender.
Yeah. Number three, the dramatic hamster gif.
Yes.
Resident Evil 8 or Village was number three.
Right. This list is actually similar to mine, because I had Inscription and Hitman and this game on it. That's the reasoning. But I did have Resident Evil.
But then a lot of the others weren't on your list at all.
Yeah. Well, and in terms of order, like what, looking at some sort of other Game of the Year lists from different publications and whatever, these are a lot of the sort of games that were ending up at number one on a bunch of, like, so many different places had different number ones. So yeah,
well, and Game Awards, it was like, what, it was Resident Evil was nominated, it was like Ratchet and Clank and Deathloop, like it was the big it was the big games, I guess.
Right, exactly. And as we get towards the top here, these are the biggest games, because Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is number two, which really surprised me, because that's a lot of PS5s out there as well that people are
able
to get their hands on.
That's true. But, you know, these are people who are paying to listen to a video games podcast. They're probably the people who tried desperately to get in and get a PS5. So that's maybe representative of that demo.
That's true. Those are the olden days I wish for, lying in bed feverishly clicking refresh. And then after I was finished, ordering a PS5.
Why were you refreshing?
Just to see if there was more pornography.
I
just need fresh pornography.
Sure.
It's quicker to hit refresh than it is to pull the slider all the way back to the start of the video and bat off to it again.
I'm going
to
go again.
You're on randomporn.com.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what am I going to roll this time?
Just a little
I'm
bit of...
I'm feeling lucky.
Porn roulette.
Yeah.
Just one of the most dangerous games you can play. One of the most safe games you can play is the number one game of the year, according to our listeners, a game that I liked very much, Halo Infinite. A surprise win.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's Game Pass, right? So it's available to anyone who's on Game Pass. Again, if you're paying for our Patreon, which is a very, very good Patreon, you get lots of good content, you're probably paying for Game Pass, because it also makes sense if you like a lot of games. And it's a good, solid game. Like, we all had a great time playing it. Mechanically, it's like one of the best first-person shooters you'll play. It's just, it's probably a game that enough people were like, this is fine to be my number one. You know, like it wasn't offensive or anything.
Well,
it makes sense. Beloved franchise, return to form.
Yeah.
You know, that's people very happy with how it turned out.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing that we don't have as much. I definitely have it, but that, like, Xbox nostalgia. If you had an Xbox as a kid, Halo Infinite, it pushes it up a grade.
Right.
For you, I reckon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I watched that Xbox documentary over the... I don't know. Remember if I talked about that on here.
I think you mentioned it, but you haven't really gone into detail.
Well, that was the same sort of thing for me, where it was like... It was a really well-made documentary that's all free on YouTube, so I reckon it's worth having a little crack at if you want. It's like 6 40-minute episodes, and it's obviously...
Not sure if I have the time at the moment, but...
It goes into...
Bit flat out over here.
Yeah.
You're busy clicking refresh.
Yeah, I've got Ben Russell's Bucks party on Sunday that just got cancelled, so I'm flat out. I'm flat out responding to things that are now no longer happening.
Yeah.
Well, so you've it sounds to me, Tommy, honestly, and I don't know if you realize this, it sounds like you've said there that you have a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. I'm getting
He's caught
that vibe.
Me out. He's caught me out. I thought COVID had made me smarter than everyone else, but I think it's actually made me a bit dumber.
Yeah. So anyway, that's out there for you to watch, and I enjoyed it from the point of view of someone who was playing Xboxes during the time they're talking about. But I think it's also interesting if you're not like, if you don't have the nostalgia that parts of it are, you know, making use of. It's still an interesting story of how they.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would like to watch it as a. I was. Yeah, I wasn't really tapped into what they were doing at the time. I did fall a little bit into the camp of thinking like, this won't take. These jokers don't know what they're doing. Stick to PCs.
Well, a lot of people
I would
did, Tommy.
Kind of, yeah.
And then these rebels, this band of cowboys that they try to portray them as these big, like, goddamn, they came out of nowhere and they shook everything up, these fucking pirate bastards. And also, it's not particularly kind about Bill Gates. It's got a lot of stuff of everyone going like, yeah, he shouted at us a lot.
Cool. Mm.
Okay. Getting on a
plane. That's what I've heard is that it's even though it's an in-house production, it doesn't gloss over the missteps that they've made and stuff.
No, it like goes into the Red Ring of Death stuff, and they're all like, "Yeah, man, that was really fucked up." And like the Xbox One, they're like, "Yeah, dude, we fucked that up too." So it
we
is
fucked it all up, really. We just fucked the whole thing up at every stage. And Bill, he kept yelling at us, and I don't know what for.
He kept throwing Xboxes at us.
Someone in a talking head interview for a documentary halfway through being like, you know what, I quit, fuck this company. Just talking about all this is making me realize we suck.
But so you know who doesn't suck? Our patrons who voted their top 10 games of the year. And if you for whatever reason haven't listened to ours, go back and listen. It's really good. We only really spoil Inscription, so you know, get into it.
It's fun to talk about games like Game of the Year stuff and do a little reminiscing. I also love doing forward-nissing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to now chat about the games that are coming up in 2022. And, you know, we're talking about our games of the year. Mm-hmm. In a year's time, we could be fondly looking back at some of these games having been on our best of 2022 list.
Yeah, I think there's also a very good chance if this year is anything like the last couple of years, which by all indications it seems like it's going to be, that we're looking at the games of 22 and beyond is a very good chance.
Yeah. Also, based on last year, there'll be some games that we love that aren't on any of these lists that we've been researching.
Specifically, a bunch of indie games that... Like, you know, they get announced ahead of time and a lot of them are in early access for a while, but it just still isn't as easy to keep track of what indie games are worth your time, to be honest. So, like,
yeah, that's why I think that's why we tend to dive in on them on episodes and highlight ones that aren't AAA games, because we do stumble across them and we love them. And, you know, I'm still trying to evangelize Inscription after having been convinced by you, Nox, and other friends of ours. Mm. So we'll be covering, I guess, what we have foreknowledge about. We'll be forecasting. We'll be three-casting about forecasting.
Hey, yeah, there are three of us. I feel like I barely turned up and Tommy has COVID, so maybe we're like half a 50-50 each, but it's like it's still two people. That's enough to have a conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. That's the bare minimum, you could say.
All right, so we're going to go through what's coming up.
We didn't talk about PlayStation VR 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's something that, like, well, this is hot off the presses for us because CES is on in Las Vegas and someone broke the bro code and told us about it, even though it happened in Vegas. But
yep.
They
Tom Holland killed a prostitute. No.
Oh, no.
They showed a bunch of stuff, including a camera, which is when you tuned in, Nox. But I also, they had Tom Holland and the head of Sony Picture Studio. Is that who it was? Yeah. It was the CEO.
Yeah, the CEO of the movie studio. Doing some of the greatest riffing you'll ever see in your life.
It's really good back and forth stuff there.
Really fantastic stuff. Yeah. A young, charismatic man who's in his prime, trying to mix it up with an old Hollywood fuckhead. God, yeah, is not in the position of really having to pitch anything, is you
yeah,
know,
true.
On the other end of those discussions, and yeah, very noticeably so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great bit where they've got a big shot behind them of the Sony lot, and Holland's like, "Oh, that's my car space right there. That's where I park." You know, it's funny enough little joke, and then the CEO kind of cuts him off mid-sentence to go, "Oh, well, yeah, hey, you're in the number one movie everywhere in the world at the moment. You can park wherever you want, pal." It's like, cool. I don't even think that's really his parking spot. Like, he's not, you know, he's surely getting driven in, you'd think. Like,
yeah.
he's trying to have a bit of fun with it.
I love having a talking point be forced back upon you. Bring it back on message. Because you know that guy was patting himself on the back afterwards, being like, yeah, I brought it back on message. I got it in there. I got our talking
maybe I should be
in
one of the movies I make. You know, maybe I'll...
It went great!
Maybe...
But I thought... honestly, I thought, you know, because they show a clip of Uncharted as well at the end of that big, you know, riff sesh. I thought Tom Holland's acting was really good when he was describing the action as being practical and realistic. Because in the actual clip, it's just CGI. He looks like he's made of rubber. But I was genuinely buying in. I was like, because he talked in depth. I don't know if you watched it all, Tommy, but he talked really in depth about how the action was the hardest action he's done, way more complicated and realistic than Spider-Man. You know, he was actually swinging around and doing stuff, and you know, the stunts were really difficult. And then, yeah, it. I think we saw it because it's what leaked. It was the cargo plane.
Yeah, yeah,
bit. And it doesn't
look
real
at
all.
I didn't see that bit. But I did have a similar thing where I was watching him talk about his... Because, you know, I previously had assumed cynically that it's like, oh, he just gets cast in this and, you know, he couldn't give a fuck about the games one way or the other.
Right.
And he told this story about working on the first Spider-Man that he was in, and because it's a Sony film, in their trailers they had all the latest PlayStations and TVs and stuff, and that's where he really got into the games and, like, spending hours and getting really into them, and him sort of driving the project a bit, and again, that's probably spin, but it kind of did work on me. It did make me a little more interested in it, and it did seem a little less like, oh, they've just cynically like miscast this and used a current like hot actor guy. It's like, no, he wanted to do it, and then it was like, oh, why don't we make it like an earlier story, like a kind of prequel-y kind of thing of the game. So,
well,
I don't know. I'm still holding out hope. I think this could be a fun movie.
I could buy that too, because it seems like he has some sway at that studio, because he was the one who convinced them to keep going with the Spider-Man stuff and all of that, right? So it seems like the great banter between Tom and the CEO.
Yeah.
It must be working for the CEO guy. What's his name?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Sony. But honestly, he should have been playing Sully. That's a big mistake, to seeing the rapport between them. Seeing this guy cut off Tom Holland in the movie so he can go, "I'm sweating like a whore in church."
Well,
really would have been
something. He would be like, "I'm sweating like a guy who's just seen a PS5 on sale at one of our many fantastic retail partners."
Yeah.
"I'm sweating like me when I saw the first day figures for Spider-Man No Way Home."
"I'm sweating like
I'm when I'm excited."
Picture country. Whole country's best hit picture.
Oh, yes.
"I'm sweating like I just did a whole bunch of cocaine, definitely."
Oh, yes. But, yeah, so Uncharted happened. That just happened at the CES press conference. But what also happened was an unveiling by Mark Ryan?
Marcus,
is that his name?
Mark Ryan? Yeah, someone. Jim Ryan. Because there's Mark Cerny and Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan was there, and I watched this bit, and this was very funny to me. Him going like, "We've got a whole bunch of great whatever, the future of video games, entertainment, Sony Computer Entertainment, and part of that is virtual reality, and we're very excited to announce the official name for our next generation of virtual reality, PlayStation VR 2. Wow.
I saw fucking Keely tweeted that as well. "Sony have unveiled the name of their new VR project. PlayStation VR 2. What do you mean unveiled the name?
That's the same thing we've been calling it for ages.
Mm.
Wrapping up my own cup and putting it under the Christmas tree. That's my cup! I came up with that cup.
It's cup 2, Adam. It's cup 2.
But it sounds cool. It's a lot of similar stuff, but just made official now, right? That we kind of knew from, I feel like people got a hold of the patents and things like that and were saying like, yeah. Oh, it's got eye tracking in it. It's yep. got the feedback thing. What do you call that? The critical feedback.
Haptic?
Haptic, yeah. It's got all that sort of stuff going on.
It's got the cameras on the outside, like the Oculus and other similar headsets where, yeah, it's doing hand tracking and the actual VR stuff is not infrared, although it does have an infrared sensor. It's got headset feedback as well as controller feedback, which is cool. And, yeah, it's one cable, which is another thing that we were speculating about and had heard
4K.
Leaked,
Wider field of vision. Mm-hmm. Basically all the stuff you'd expect from however many years it's been since they made the first. What is it, 5 years now? It's been out for
something like that, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much, in terms of like the ergonomics and the functionality of it even, it kind of pales in comparison to the Oculus, which is, even that's, you know, a couple of years on now. So by the time this thing does finally come out, it's pretty exciting. I think it'll look amazing.
I'm very much looking forward to it because I went and played I Expect You to Die.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the sequel to that. And they are perfectly fine, but I played them on PSVR. And compared to an Oculus, you can really feel the age of the controller tracking technology especially. And like the headset tracking that all just uses a camera in front of the TV. You really feel that. So this is, it sounds like basically everything you would want in an updated VR headset. And
then they had a little piece of software to show off, which was nice because, yeah, there's still no look at the actual headset itself, to be clear. They showed the controllers again, but which I think they've already shown off.
The Sense controllers.
Yeah, they showed off a little software demo. It was walking around the Sony lot, being able to see where Tom Holland's car space is. So that's very exciting.
It was cool. Well, Tommy, he's in the biggest movie in the world, so you know what? He can play VR wherever he wants to.
The goal of this game is to walk up to any parking spot and jack the fucking car and move it out of the way because we got a big star coming through.
That's right. Zendaya.
It was a Horizon Zero Dawn, or Horizon is the
Horizon
the overall,
and then it was
name, right?
called fucking what was it called? Something about Call the of the Cloud? Mountain.
Call of the Mountain.
Yeah.
A little VR experience. It's cool that they're expanding that world kind of more and more. Which, yeah, I mean, if that's it, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell, like, kind of what sort of. VR based thing it is, whether it's a game or just a little kind of on rails experiencey kind of thing. But yeah, it's cool to see that they're thinking about that kind of stuff and fleshing out a lot of their existing franchises into that world would be really cool, because that's, at this point, I think that's a big part of their kind of ace up the sleeve, is that they do have enough marquee franchises that if they just went all in on going boom boom boom, here's a Ratchet VR experience, here's a Horizon VR experience, like,
I think
that's kind of all they need to do.
That this one did just look like it was, you know, walking underneath one of those big long neck dinosaur robot things, and it did look very much like the VR thing that has been the most common type of VR thing, which is, yeah, whoa, look at that huge Star Destroyer, I'm moving through this for 15 minutes. And so, like, if it was another one of those, I think that would be it'd be fine to do one because you want to show off your new thing and whatever, but like, it's not the sort of that like VR experience 15 minute long go through this.
Well,
I think there's got to be another Astrobot on the way, right?
That'd
surely
be good.
Yeah,
that was so good on one of the biggest the most popular VR things of their last generation headset. People loved the pack-in on the PS5, and they haven't, you know, we kind of thought maybe that was like a little taster of what was to come of a more fully fledged one. They haven't shown anything like that off. I would think they're maybe planning to launch it with a new one of them, which would be
smart.
I think we'd all love. Yeah.
I can allay your concerns about this Horizon one though, boys, because it is going to be an original game built specifically for PSVR 2. It is a game, and it's being made by Sony and what's this company called? Firesprite, who made a game called The Persistence, which was like a full-on shooter.
Oh, cool.
It became a non-VR game as well on like every platform. So it does seem like this is a full game and it is going to be... like additional story content for Horizon, whether it's set in the past or the future or whatever. This sounds, like it is meant to be at least one of the big first party games.
Great.
Not just an experience, which would also, I would have been probably a little let down by.
That's great to hear, because I think it was literally just the fact that it was like, you know, walking under the big thing from the game, you know, and going like,
which
of course, that's how every VR trailer still is, because it's like 3D movies. You have to have someone fucking throwing a tennis ball at your face.
Right. It's exactly that.
Get a load of this chode. You can't even see it in 3D. It's attached to Tommy. The results are back.
What was the what do you think the equivalent was of other media where it's like the tennis ball on the tennis paddle ball.
The paddle ball
was like the 3D movie thing. But like, do you think it was like, were there jokes back in the day about like when TVs first had stereo in them? It's like every movie's got to have a scene where a fucking train goes past and you hear the left speaker and then the right.
I bet. Well,
I think literally yes.
I remember a lot of, I mean, like, when it went from sort of 4:3 to 16:9 being the standard, I remember a lot of things. None specifically, but where they would push the edges of the border out to the widescreen format and be like, whoa, look at that, man, my arms are so long.
I think specifically ads for DVD as a format and widescreen as a format on rentals. I think that's where we would have seen that kind of thing.
Ads for DVD on VHS, I always remember finding very funny, because they'd be like, they'd show you what VHS looked like and then they'd show you what DVD looked like.
Yeah.
And it's like, but hang on, you're doing this on a VHS. Why don't you just do this on the VHS?
Why don't you just clean up the colours and present a nicer picture here? Fuck.
Same as with 4K games where they would just fucking zoom up on pores of skin. That's not been the thing I've been missing from every... That was like with that Matrix tech demo, how I think we were a little softer on it than some people, because like it's fidelity that doesn't improve the actual look of the game. It's a cool technical achievement, but you know,
right?
I want to be able to play a fun VR game because it's such a good way of controlling a game, rather than be able to look at things from a 3D angle.
Agreed.
Well, the future is here, Adam, and in 2022, I'm sure you're going to get to see a lot of great graphical leaps and bounds, hardware being pushed to its limits, providing a gameplay experience that is as smooth as butter and as crisp as can possibly be, starting on the 28th of January with the launch of Pokemon Legends on the Nintendo Switch.
Well,
I've been playing Bowser's Fury again after you guys, you know, were so warm on it in your Game of the Year episodes. And even that, fucking, it struggles to run. And that is a small, contained open world.
If you jump back and forth between 3D World, which is on the same cartridge, where 3D World they got up to a buttery smooth 60 frames per second, and then you go into Fury and it's a noticeable 30, which for a game of that style, like, you really want it to be as smooth as possible.
Speaking of things of competent hardware and things being buttery smooth, before we talk a bit more about Pokemon, do you want to quickly talk about the greatest catch of all, catching yourself a good deal on some equipment.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Fuck, we've been talking for ages and we haven't even got into the bulk of the episode.
Nah.
But you can get into the bulk of your pubes with Manscaped.com's products. Happy New Year from us and from Manscaped. The ball has dropped, but that does not mean you have to drop the ball on your balls.
Night. Oh, okay. There was one too many balls in that. Drop your balls would have been, but I guess that's like a puberty thing. So, okay.
One of the least offensive copies they've given us in a while. So, we've got to give credit where it's due.
Absolutely. And then the very next sentence, it's time you bring sexy back in 2022. What reference is that? Why?
It never left, baby.
Everyone's talking about that 16-year-old song. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake is in late middle age.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what age you are, your pubes always need to be trimmed. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to help them ring in the new year with the right tools for the job.
I'm going to disagree with that and say it does matter what age you are and that it starts at a certain age. not to overwrite the people who were, you know, advertising with us, and we thank them, but you've gotten that,
me.
Wrong.
That was all BB. They did not write in a segue from Justin Timberlake to Manscaped.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you were talking about JT.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the performance package, we've talked about it a bunch. The Lawnmower 4.0 is in the performance package, and that is their main hero product. It's a fantastic trimmer. You can use it on any part of your body. If you want to ring in the new year, then make your ring brand new.
Okay.
I'm really annoyed because I've lost my Lawnmower 4.0. I don't know where the fuck it is. I can't find it anywhere. It's really annoying me, and my asshole has been buzzing a lot lately. So I don't know. But no,
speaking of the red ring of death,
I don't know where I put it. And it makes no sense that it wouldn't be in the bathroom, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's my own problem.
Yep. But yes, so there's this package. It has like six essential tools. It has the lawnmower. It has the deodorant and moisturizer. It has like a little freshness toner spray thing. Yep. You get a little bag in it.
The nose hair trimmer, I think, is another product. I don't know if that's in that one, but it's a very good product.
I don't know if it's in the performance package, but it is extremely good regardless. There was another line that I wanted to read. Oh, because I had an issue with it. So it says, it's time to freshen up down there in the new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. And then it says, you already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body?
My balls.
Wow.
Whose genitals are the smelliest part of their body?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
But who's done that research?
I think no one's corrected it because I didn't want to go near Stinky Ball Jeff, but I think it maybe has the potential to become the smelliest part of your body.
I guess, from my personal experience, that struck me as something very bizarre to say. Like, all you have to do is shower once a day and your balls don't get smelly. Am I right, lads?
Right. If I've done a hard sesh at the gym when I come home, then yes, it's bad stuff down there. But that's after an extreme workout. That's not after just a day of walking around.
Right.
Most people, like, they can sweat up a storm under their pits just from being out and walking around and just natural body odor stuff.
And I tell you what, I can sweat up a storm on any part of my body just from walking around. Thank you very much.
Okay. But then surely your whole body smells. Okay, maybe we should.
Yeah.
I think we're definitely in the weeds at this point.
What about feet?
Even if we're being more positive. Positive about it, even in that scenario, it's still no picnic down there. Let's say, okay, even best case scenario, you're not wanting to get your snout right up in there.
I think we can all agree that you don't want your balls to smell bad.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Okay. We can meet in the middle on that. Yes. Yeah.
Whether or not they start off smelling bad, or it's easy for them to become poor smelling.
Yeah.
Those are different things that we're not going to cover here in our copywriting adjustment segment, copy wronging, that we do every week with the Manscaped advertising.
Who we love and we appreciate their support. But yeah, you're right. Even if you smell great, there's nothing wrong with a bit of moisturizer on your ones and twos. So
no. Your little binaries.
So if you want to get any of this, go to manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY. That is Filthy for our podcast, and you get 20% off and free shipping on the performance package or other items. I'm not sure, but whatever you do, go and have a browse around. It's a great way to start the new year. You know, take control of your personal grooming and go to manscaped.com, use the code Filthy.
Take control of your own personal Pokemon in Pokemon Legends Arceus, like we were talking about. Arceus, I don't know. Rock me, Arceus.
Rock me Arceus, yeah. I'd say Arceus, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, but I think so. Yeah. To the point you were making before about the, you know, Switch games in general, running quite poorly at this point in its life cycle. That game does have the smaller sort of contained open worldy thing. So it's not a full open world along the lines of Monster Hunter. So,
okay.
It probably won't run great because it is a modern Switch game, and that's just seems to be the bar that has been set for that.
Yeah,
but it's looked a little choppy since day one. Yes. And I think it was one that when it was first unveiled, it was really one that led to further fervent speculation that an announcement of a pro must be imminent.
Right.
Yes, it was like they're clearly showing this off on current hardware, and it looks like it's struggling. Mm. But nevertheless, I think this game looks fun. I've been excited for it since we first saw it. Looks like a fun twist on the Pokemon formula, although those games are kind of all over the shop in terms of quality and enjoyment. So right. I really don't know, but I'm staying positive about it. I think it looks fun. If they pull it off, I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I think I'm similar. I'm very interested to see what it's like. I really hope that it's good, because if it is good, it's the game that I most wanted to exist when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like it's... I'm still not 100% clear on exactly what it is, but it looks like it's more real-time. Monster Hunter is probably a good comparison. It looks like a bit of Monster Hunter, real-time fighting kind of stuff, and catching them in a way that's a bit more... Not just in a turn-based battle, hitting a button to throw a ball, like actually having to kind of do that in a real-time setting.
I think it's not. I don't think it's action-y. I think it might still be turn-based, but it's like an over-shoulder kind of view thing.
Right.
I'd have to double-check that, because I am also a little unclear on it because, and Game Freak are a weird company, and you're completely right about how spotty their output can be. So
I loved the new Snap that came out last year. They pulled that one off, though that's not developed by them. But still, like, that's kind of... That kind of restored my faith in, like, they can do Pokemon spin-offs that are really cool. There's a lot of good stuff to be done with that world. Mm-hmm. I agree. This looks like, when it first got revealed, I think we were all saying it sort of looks like the sort of things that we would have hoped would have been implemented in a mainline game by now. More kind of like, exploring in the wild, and like a bit more sort of, less traditional kind of RPG.
Well, we'll be talking about it in like 4 weeks. And then after another week, hypothetically, we'll be talking about Dying Light 2, which I still massively doubt will actually be the case. I don't know. I could see that game getting delayed a lot. But I'm really interested to see how this one turns out too, because it seemed cool. Everything they were saying about it and showed about it early on looked good. And then they went completely silent for a long time. And just recently, some YouTube people and stuff got like weird early builds of the game that they're allowed to make 10-minute preview videos on, and all seemed weirdly positive in a way that didn't seem necessarily natural to me.
Right.
But it's coming out on the 4th of February is what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so they did delay it, right? They delayed it after they came back out of that radio silence, and it was meant to come out late last year, so or just earlier in January. I can't remember, but they did delay it. I played the first one and loved it. It's a really fun parkour zombie game with genuine sort of branching paths and ways to approach missions like an RPG. So, I mean, apart from being a little burnt out on zombie stuff for what I have to assume now is the rest of my life, given like I've been burnt out on zombie stuff for years. It does look cool, so we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely would love for that to be good. I'm just keeping my own expectations managed, I agree that first one is really cool, and it's just like the stuff they were saying about how the story could potentially go in the second one sounded cool, but we'll see. And we'll see soon as well. These games all coming out soon enough that maybe we don't spend too much time talking about them now, because there'll be full podcasts about them soon enough. Like
True.
Ollie Ollie World and Sifu both look cool to me. Ollie Ollie skateboarding, Sifu fighting.
Yes, Sifu has that weird sort of like surprisingly filmic fluid fighting stuff where it doesn't really look like, you know, oh, button, but, you know, it looks very natural. Mm. And I think is the key sort of draw or hook for the game. But yeah, that looks cool. And yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it. And I'm sure we'll all have a crack of Ollie Ollie World because, again, stylistically looks great and skating games are fucking fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar sort of stuff with, like, I kind of want to play Total War Warhammer 3. That's coming to Game Pass. I like strategy games. I want to give that a look. But then we'll definitely all be talking about Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Elden
really,
Ring
really
as well
looking to forward to that. The next kind of, I guess, big game that I'll sink a lot of time into,
mm-hmm.
potentially. Yeah, never ended up going back into number one to kind of do more of it. Sort of realized I'd crossed the line where I was better kind of keeping myself fresh for Forbidden West.
Right.
But yeah, looks great.
Well, you'll have a good 7 days to play Horizon Forbidden West or less. No, 7 days because Elden Ring comes out a week later.
Yeah, yep. Two really huge games, both of which I'm looking forward to. And I am willing to bet that I will be unfairly negative towards Forbidden West again because I lose track of it because a game I want to play more comes out not long after, like with happened Breath of the Wild. So
Yeah.
Yeah,
because there
yeah.
was a bit of gameplay footage of Forbidden West that came out recently, a bit of new stuff that looked fucking really good to me. And I liked where the story ended up going in that first one, so I want to see more of it. But then, Elden Ring is a big heavy hitter for me, for sure.
Yeah, and again, with Forbidden West, like I just am ready for a... Oh, I mean, it's not a PS5 exclusive, but I am ready to see another thing that kind of pushes that hardware that... you know, is not getting a huge run at the moment. And Elden Ring, I think everything we've seen of it looks great. I really want to like it. I still have no idea if it's going to gel with me or if I'm going to bounce off it quickly. But I think all the aesthetic stuff and the tone and the vibe of it looks fantastic. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to give it a go. Mm. I have a feeling you're in a similar boat. Ben?
Yes, I am in the exact same boat and it feels like we might end up drowning, but who knows? Hopefully not. Maybe we just have to really try hard and we'll get good at it.
I reckon it has exactly the same sort of vibe as the other From games where it's like, you know, it's not an easy game, but it does seem like there are ways you can make it easier on yourself by like using magic and whatever. But like also that involves going and looking up like, you know, ways to basically cheat at the game.
Right.
I feel like, Adam, I have a feeling that this in Horizon could be kind of the opposite for me as for you. Like if I'm invested enough in Horizon and then Elden Ring coming out and if I'm finding it too tricky rather than be like, well, this is what I've got on the go at the moment, I'll persevere. In the back of my head, there's going to be this thing where it's like, hey, I've got this thing that I'm really enjoying that I'm, you know, 7-8 hours into and the story is really progressing and I've kind of got to grips with it. It is really hard when enough stuff is coming out in a row where it's just like constant sets of new mechanics to be wrapping your head around. And yeah, especially if you've put a significant amount of time into one of those the week before, it's like, oh, I'm just going to go back and do that because it's familiar at this point.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, speaking of mechanics... They'll be working on the cars that you drive in Gran Turismo 7.
Yeah, coming out. I guess they would.
Yeah, nice.
That's not bad at all.
A little over a week.
Hey, Ben.
Golden Ring.
Hey, Ben. Good job on that one.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Hey,
thanks.
Ben, I'm going to give you the ultimate compliment that I ever give anyone.
Yeah?
I'll pay that.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
That's got to feel good.
That feels very
good. I'll pay that.
I'm taking a victorious sip of my Big M at the moment.
Tommy Dane's to pay it. Wow.
I'll pay that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Gran Turismo 7. Speaking of, you know, looking at what the PS5 can do, this is also a PS4 game, but I think this will look good. And I like driving cars around in games.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this one. Although, I think as I said with my Forza Horizon 5 review, like I tend to gravitate to the more arcadey ones, but I did love Gran Turismo as a series, and it was one of the ones that I've been playing as a PS owner for years. Same day though.
Yeah.
Same day.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of Triforce action Triangle Strategy is meant to come out.
Yes.
On the Nintendo Switch.
Now I'm looking forward to this. Mm. I think I'm the only one of us that enjoyed Octopath Traveler, their last game in this style.
I played a bit of it and I didn't mind it, but I think I found the writing really, really dumb. I just couldn't connect. And you need to with like
it was
a really
very
long
like
RPG
base level goofy RPG. Well, I think part of what a lot of people's criticisms with it was is that you had these different storylines and you would do one and then it would reset and you'd go to another part of the map, and so you were just doing intros of stories again and again and again and again, which I think a lot of people found frustrating.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that so much, but this looks like maybe they've refined some of those issues that people had, and the combat looks interesting, and I just love this style. I think that this
it does
what
cool.
do they call it? 2.5D or some weird
didn't they have diorama somewhere or something like that in
it?
Or it just looks like
they've got
diorama.
Some strange name for the engine or something like that. But I think it's such a striking effect when you're actually in the game world, and I really like the tone and look of it, and I enjoyed Octopath, so I'm really looking forward to this.
May well have the game name of the year as well. Triangle Strategy. Yeah. I love that that's still what they've called it. They've just dropped the project and now
which is exactly what they did with Octopath.
Yeah,
it was the same
thing.
It was like working title Project Octopath Traveler. Mm. Oh, that's stupid. Is it less stupid if we take Project off it? Oh, I mean, barely, but it's...
Like, yes, it's, technically.
It's not a win. Yeah.
HD2D. HD2D is the style, Tommy. I just looked it up because I'm sure people will be yelling at their podcast apps.
Also the name of probably the worst rapper in the world. I don't know if it's a person, but HD2D really sounds like the name of a just
sound like
terrible rapper.
Yep.
Yeah.
My name's HD and also 2D, and I'm here to say. Anyway.
He's just getting big, and then people have found some dodgy tweets from like 10 years ago. It's like, oh no.
Nah, when I said those words, I was being funny. it reminded me, just talking about Triangle Strategy, of the other... that I don't think has a release date, so I'm just going to bring it up now.
Oh,
the other cool graphics tactics game coming out next year, which is Metal Slug Tactics.
Oh, yes.
Can't wait. Yeah, really can't wait for that.
Yep.
That's a big one I'm looking forward to. I'm going to talk about this more next week, but I got a thing that lets you play retro games, and I've been playing Metal Slug, but I'll talk about that.
It's called the Infinity Games Machine.
Yeah, I've attached another Frankenstein limb. You know, Frankenstein had eight different limbs.
Yeah. It's an immersive gaming experience, the Adam's apartment.
Yeah.
Metal Slug Tactics is on a bunch of stuff, isn't it? It's a bunch of different platforms.
So. Yeah, I believe
I thought it was just PC to start with. I thought when they announced it.
I think it was in a Switch Direct.
It was.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a Switch exclusive, so that's why I googled it. But no, it's Switch and Windows.
Oh,
it looks
like. So,
okay. Yeah. Cool.
An indie game. Some others, because we're just in March. Maybe we just quickly go over these. But Tunic, I think, might be cool. It's like a Zelda kind of thing, but you're a fox instead of a kid.
Little fox.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Terrible name for a game that looks like it could be cool, Final Fantasy Neo.
We played that demo a few months ago, and it was really fun. It was cool to play a... for me, it seemed a bit easier than a FromSoft game. Yeah, maybe, I don't know if the Neo games are easier as well, but just sort of like a third-person action game with Final Fantasy stuff. I'm excited.
Yeah, it seems goofy in a cool way as well. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, I think I'm going to end up playing, but because I've enjoyed the way all of those Borderlands games play, so I'm looking forward-ish to that one, but it does seem, to my tastes, I might end up getting annoyed by that game as well.
Is Will Arnett in it? Because he did the presentation, right?
There's a ton of people in it. I think like fucking what's his name from Parks and Rec.
Adam Scott?
Nah, keep going.
Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari. I think I heard his voice in it. Like, I think it's got a bunch of sort of voices like that in there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's be March.
Chocobo Racing.
Oh yeah, I want to fucking race March. A little chocobo around too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. I love a kart racer. If it feels fun.
Yeah.
then yeah, I'll be all in on this. I'm not as au fait with the Final Fantasy series as you guys, but it does look like it's got a lot of dumb, goofy, kind of fan servicey different characters and stuff in there, and just looks bright and colourful. And yeah, if the racing feels good.
And if that's what you're after, dumb, stupid, colourful, fan servicey characters, then you are very much au fait with the Final Fantasy series.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Less so with the big April game that is the only one really slated for April that I can make head and a tail of, which is Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl.
Yeah, this looks fucking sick. All of the gameplay stuff and the like little cutscenes and stuff look like it's well directed, as well as being like visually good and fun to play. Big fan of the previous one, and yeah, this looks awesome.
Yeah, I hope that it sticks to that, but I would not be surprised to see this game get pushed back a bit too. Basically, all of the rest of the games for this year get pushed back. If you're past March, I would imagine that it's, you know, it's been a weird couple of years, so that makes sense. But yeah, I'm the same. I really liked that first Stalker game. Such good atmosphere and a really unique sort of shooter, immersive sim kind of game for the time.
Yes.
And I am excited to see what the sequel, again, on Game Pass too. So, man,
yep.
If you got access, get access.
If you got access, get access. That's beautifully said.
Thank you very much. I'm one of the writers on Forspoken, which is coming out in May.
Yeah. So this one, we've talked about it a few times, although it is coming out on PC. We've talked about the concept of testing the limits of the PS5. This is literally been developed to do that graphically. Like, right. That is why this game exists.
Which I didn't realize, and yeah, I've been very disinterested in the whole time, but if it's going to be a nice little visual showcase for the PS5, I probably will end up going in, because again, I just want more stuff that makes me feel like it's been a worthwhile purchase.
From those trailers as well, like all of the sort of specular, like little bits and blobs floating around on the screen. What do you call them? I think they're specular effects. Lots of small particles. Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And like the capture of the acting and stuff like that all seems cool. Yeah. It does, I think, to us look a little bit like generic action game off the shelf type of thing. Apart from the visuals, and it does seem. And a lot of people seem to be on the same page as us with this, which isn't always that common, so it must be bad that it is a little overly quippy.
Right.
Yeah, and overly quippy, like the bits where it's trying to be unique are grating on us, and then all the rest of it just looks very generic.
Right.
To me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's about as bad as it could get.
Although I do think the acting does seem good, like you said. I think it's been cast well, and
I'm so prepared to like it way more than I thought too. That would be great.
Yeah,
it could be. Yeah.
Totally.
In June, that Cuphead DLC is coming out. Cuphead Delicious Last Course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Think we all kind of know what that is, but Cuphead's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been playing it again. I booted up the Switch for the first time. Yeah, like I said, to play Bowser Fury for the first time in like 6 months or something, like without having doing it for a specific game to review. And saw Cuphead was in my library there, and fuck, it's so good. Just going back in and killing some bosses, killing some frogs and shit. Fuck, it's just...
Yep.
I wish that they just made a heap of different kinds of games with this style, like these people. Maybe we've talked about that before, but I love the style so much. Make a slightly easier game or an RPG or something else, because...
Yeah, I wish they did a bit of what... Again, a game I'll talk about a bit more next week, but Shovel Knight, what they are kind of where they were like, let's just pretend this is like one of the biggest IPs in the world and just pump out a lot of stuff with these mascot characters in it. And yeah, admittedly, it's like a huge task for them. It's clearly like a lot of work to do all this animation. But yeah, you're right. Like, I'd love the idea of there being a suite of Cuphead branded games.
Yeah.
Or just not even Cuphead and Mugboy, like just the style. Like just these guys and girls making whatever kind of game with whatever kind of protagonist they want. But I just love the animation style.
Well, I'd love
to
see
Ben, I got
that.
A little game for you called Mickey Mania on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
That level of treatment being applied to different animation styles, I agree, would be cool as well.
Yeah.
Other than the animation style of Saints Row, which the reboot of that is coming out on the 23rd of August.
Yeah.
At this point, that was delayed. And yeah, I don't know. It will probably be fine. I feel like that is not interesting to me particularly.
Yep.
But
yep.
Hey, get that Saints Row franchise back in the zeitgeist. You go get yours.
Saints. Yeah, look, if it's another fun GTA style game that is actually new and is not just like GTA Online DLC pack, great. Bring, you know, get us back into that kind of world. But I think we're all a little bit skeptical that it'll actually be fun and new and interesting.
I think so. I feel kind of the opposite way about the other big open world game that is kind of the only game slated for the rest of the late part of the year.
Yep.
Which is Starfield from Bethesda, the new IP from the Elder Scrolls people.
Yeah. On the 11th of the 11th, 22, it's meant to come out.
1-1-1-1-2-2. Damn. Epstein didn't kill.
Yeah.
But,
make a wish, am I right? I wish this game will be good. And I think it will. I have faith in Bethesda, given that I've liked every game they've ever made except for Fallout 76. So,
which apparently is fixed up now, by all accounts.
Right.
Maybe we should go in and play that at some point together.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Because, yes, like I was one of the people who loved Fallout 4 when it came out. And that was one that kind of got a pretty mixed response, especially from audiences. I think critics were a bit more positive. But I love space and I love Bethesda. So give me that Starfield.
I think the big thing for me that is a point of difference for this game versus anything they've put out in the last 10 years, 80% of which is Skyrim re-releases, is that there seems to be a level of enthusiasm from them about this game. Like, they seem to be stoked that they are making it and excited that it is coming out. And there is we haven't seen much of it at all. I don't think any gameplay yet. Just some sort of in-engine-ish kind of footage of someone walking around a spaceship and whatever. But, like, that makes me optimistic about it because they seem to be excited about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think you have to... Skyrim, itself has had mixed responses from people, but it is hugely popular. Mm. And if you think you've made the next Skyrim, then and it's in space, then I think you'd be pretty fucking excited.
Right. And I think, like, you know, say what you want about Skyrim and the million re-releases in the modern context, I think there's a lot of stuff to be said about that, about, you know, that is negative. But at the time, Skyrim was pretty widely considered to be cool.
It was, it was the scope of it was huge, the level of immersion, the level of customization as an RPG. I still love it. You know, I'm still one of those people who starts a new game every 12 months or so. I think it's fantastic. So yeah, you're right. This is the last one that we think has a release date, but it's not the last one that has been announced.
Not by any stretch of the fucking imagination, I'll tell you that much. There's a lot of games that are meant to be coming out in 2022.
Yeah.
I reckon we just talk about as many of them as we want to. We've got like a big list here. I've got fucking time. I've got an alphabetical list of games that I made here that I'm looking forward to. And would you object to me reading out the first one of that list?
Go for it. Why don't we go through your list, Knox, and if there's any that we don't cover from this extremely even longer list, we'll double back.
I'd love that, yeah. Dude, there's nothing more I would like to do personally than read to a bunch of people a list of games I'm looking forward to playing in the year 2022.
There's literally nothing I'd rather do right now.
don't think that I take for granted that I have the opportunity to take as much time as I want in reading to people.
I can think of one thing I'd rather do, and it's getting a text message that has the word negative in it. But apart from that, that's number one. Hearing and contributing to this list, that's a solid number two.
I'm going to text you not to be negative, but you've got COVID.
Hope this doesn't have a negative effect on your day.
A solid number two. I think that's one of the symptoms, isn't it?
Not in my case.
Yeah, I didn't know which way to go on that. But anyway, back
a solid
to the list.
Number three that I'm looking forward to, hopefully, is Bayonetta 3. I have never played the first three games, but I want to this year give a big honk to those first two Bayonettas. Get ready for that third.
If you want to do a big honk, it's the right franchise for you.
It is.
I don't know what you mean.
Neither do I.
Pl- played and loved too. I think you'd enjoy it, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking great. I only got in when 2 was ported over to the Switch, and you get 1 and 2 in like a double pack, or you get 1 as a bonus download.
I think
or
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, in person you got that, like if we were a physical copy, and digitally they're separate, but they now have a bundle together on there too.
Yeah.
Because I've been eyeing them off.
Yep.
But yeah, 2 was awesome. Never went in on 1 because just felt like from all accounts it was 2 was the same but a little better. But yeah, it feels like it's been a long – well, it has been a long, long wait for this. They announced it ages ago, only just showed it off quite recently. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to have some confirmation that it actually exists and that it is coming out sooner rather than later,
yeah.
Hopefully.
Mm. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is the next one.
Cool.
This looks really cool.
Man, yes. Even just saying it makes me feel the same way I used to feel when I'd say Jet Set Radio. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is such a good name for a spiritual Jet Set successor.
It makes me feel the way I feel when I say the name Bomb Funk MCs, which is orgasmic. it looks great. I never played the Jet Set Radio games, but you know, I absolutely love this style of game. And the style of this specific game looks sick. I'm definitely going to play this.
My one hesitation with this is I feel like, maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like spiritual successes rarely tend to be great.
Yes.
Anytime something is very, very clearly doing like a, you know, not just taking some of the ideas, like a kind of a loose sampling of older ideas generally tend to be really good. But when it's like a really on the nose sort of carbon copy, they always fail to live up to the expectation, I feel like.
I think that is a pretty fair hesitation to have about this.
Yeah.
It's one that until looking at games that were coming out this year and writing them down on this list, I hadn't really looked up that much stuff about Somerville, which I'm just going to mention now, which is that game that looks like Inside. It is made by a company that is one of the co-founders of Playdead. It has founded this company too, but I was under the mistaken assumption that that was the next Playdead game, which I'm wrong about. Well, they haven't announced that.
That's because they split.
Yeah,
like they had a beef, and they split. So, like the next Playdead game will be just that one other guy's. So you know, I'm treating this as much of a sequel as to Inside as whatever the Playdead, you know, or not sequel, but follow up, right?
Follow on,
Yeah.
Because we don't know what their actual thing is going to be, right? So this is kind of all we've got for now.
And Somerville looks good from the stuff they've shown of it. I am very keen to play that. But it feels like it's one of those facts that I kind of knew at some point that Playdead had split and then forgot it and relearned that bit of information just before. But yeah, it I really hope that that's good because it is cool, and Inside and Limbo are two great games. As a lot of people say, is Darkest Dungeon 1.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. True.
Darkest Dungeon 2 is out in early access now and is meant to fully come out this year. The reason I put it on this is because, like Inscription especially, but a couple of games last year made me kind of get the roguelike thing and the card game thing and the type of game that Darkest Dungeon is that I have never really engaged with, so I'm keen to expand my horizons. Are you boys?
Yeah, so I was just looking up Darkest Dungeon because I also haven't played it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, this does look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Slay the Spire is one I still mean to get around to, but they kind of talked about in the same company, I believe.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
This looks more interesting visually than Slay the Spire.
It is,
to me.
But I did love the mechanics of Slay the Spire. So, hey
so sue me, huh?
Yeah.
So test me for a child.
Before we get past the D's
in
your alphabetical list, because I remembered it and we talked about it before, Dune, Spice Wars. Another entry in the storied franchise of Dune strategy games. Mm-hmm. It's coming out in 2022. It's a 4X game, so it has that added layer of complexity on top of an RTS. I'm really excited for it. Dune 2 specifically is held up as like possibly one of the best, or possibly the best RTS. So Yeah, really excited for that.
It's that one that people, you know, credit with basically coming up with the genre in the way that it is, or at least was.
Yep, yep.
Dune is just something I've never interacted with, not even the movies or the books or anything, so maybe this is my Dune year.
Yeah, I reckon give it a crack. Give the movie a crack at least, because it's a visual spectacle. It's very, very... it's a sumptuous feast for your eyes.
I'm wearing visual spectacles right now.
As
I was
going
to say, Ben, you wear glasses, so everything's a visual spectacle.
Yeah, I guess so.
Using my visual spectacles, I am reading the words Ghostwire Tokyo. Which is...
Yep.
Yeah, another like intriguing one that I think has the potential to maybe end up a train wreck. I don't know why I feel like that in the back of my head, but if it works out, I think this game looks really cool.
Maybe because the title isn't very good. Maybe that's why you feel skeptical. Because it looks great. There's nothing about it that has looked less than fun and atmospheric and cool, in my opinion.
I think so too. Maybe it's just the word ghost is scaring me.
It could be that.
I don't want to get
getting the feeling like
ghost.
I want to run away from this game.
Yeah.
Maybe
sure,
because it's
sure.
Bad. I don't know.
That reminds me, the word ghost has reminded me that they announced there'll be a Ghost of Tsushima film adaptation directed by the director of John Wick, which is, I don't know how to feel about that.
A Ghost of Tsushima is one of those ones where it's like, okay, well, you're just making like a medieval Japan movie then. Like, that's just a samurai movie that you're making.
Same with Uncharted. What's fun about those games is the fact that they're movie worlds transposed into games. But
yeah, it's a strange thing to go like, this game that is based in a real world setting, we're making an adaptation of this game. So, you're making a different movie set in that time period then.
Yeah, like, you know, they literally mention Kurosawa in their visual options. So it's like, okay, so you've compared yourself to the greatest filmmaker of samurai films ever.
Well, that's a good thing. Because now the movie will be great.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Well, if they just add Kurosawa mode to the film, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Like
halfway through... Visually, it toggles over, and then after a while, it's like, this is cool that this exists, but it's
a DVD demo and a VHS. It just like puts some artificial film grain on there to make it look worse. God of War Ragnarok, I think there's not heaps to necessarily say about that because we talked about God of War a ton when it came out, and I feel the same way about this that I did about that, where I really want to play it, and it looks good, and I'm very glad that it is finishing up that Nordic mythology storyline as well.
Yep.
That's a cool thing.
The world
to know.
Of assassination. The world of assassination. I believe it's called.
I'm interested to see how Gotham Knights turns out, but that's the multiplayer one that probably end up being not to our tastes. Hogwarts Legacy.
Yes.
Fuck, I'm fascinated by this game.
Yeah,
could be cool.
Yeah.
Looks neat. Looks neat that it's not the. It's not the characters from the film.
No.
It's its own little...
It's like the late 1800s, I believe, is when they're setting it or something like that. So it's olden days magic as opposed to that modern Harry Potter magic.
This looks like one that could be fun to play with a partner watching on who doesn't play games. But, you know, most people are into Harry Potter in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be interesting to my partner getting to see a little game where you get to fuck around in Hogwarts and... go do the classes and stuff. Mm. It's neat. It could be cool. And like we've talked about it a bunch. It's a shame that I feel like this will predictably suffer in some capacity from the person who is at the, what do you want to call it? The high table of the Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah, that's the first phrase that would have come to my mind as well.
Yeah. The creator.
Yeah,
the creator,
the person at the high table.
Yeah,
I was trying to use more flowery language forgetting the mental state that I'm currently in.
God. You should be sitting in a high chair, mate, because you're a baby.
But, yeah, it is a shame that I feel like that is ultimately going to have some sort of, even if it is slight, I think it will have a negative effect on the reception and sales of the game. Even if it is a small percentage of people, I'm sure there will be some people that boycott this fairly or unfairly. I think unfairly, because I think the people working on it are, you know, nothing to do
and
with
have
that.
Specifically
but
said
money
hey,
does
we're
still
not,
go into her pocket, so that's kind of unavoidable.
Yeah.
But
you got to follow them Benjamins.
Yeah.
And I'll be following.
But I'm excited to give this a go.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually seeing some of it too. I feel like we haven't actually seen gameplay of it, so I want to see that. I want to play Hollow Knight Silksong.
Ho ho. Yeah, this Hollow one's Knight's been slated for a while, right?
Yeah, it's
this was meant to be DLC at one point, right? And then it fleshed out into its own new full game.
It's becoming one of those ones that's like getting to be a poster boy for kind of delayed game thing, you know. It's every time there's like an indie direct or whatever, they're all like Silksong, Silksong, but it's because Hollow Knight is a great fucking game and this looks to be no different. So
and not even really a delayed game, just like they keep just not showing any of it.
Right.
Right.
Since the sort of first reveal of it, it's the it's more like it's the Chinese democracy of video games, where it's like, what's happening with this?
I'm interested to see Axl Rose try his hand at game development. let's skip through a few here real quickly because I'm aware that I don't want you to pass out due to illness on my behalf. Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
I'm just getting going, baby.
New Kirby game.
Yeah.
Yes. That'll get you going.
Looks great.
Yeah, that little
looks
pink
like
ball.
Looks very Mario platformer style, which they've still not said anything about, you know, when there'll be a new one of them. So this looks like it could fill that void.
You're going to be a little pink ball sucking up this game.
I sure am.
I'm looking forward to playing Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. Because I remember reading a preview of this game in 2019 that was like, it's fucking really good. And you go to every Star Wars planet and it's got it all. It just was like a glowing preview that has stuck with me. So I'm interested to see if this will be a good game.
Well, those previews are never compromised by any, you know, anything.
That's why I trust it.
Nothing about access or ad space. But yeah, like I think you're also probably, as is your personality, Nox, like the fact that it is the entire thing in a package, right?
Yes.
Like the whole
That
series.
Is a very good point.
Yeah.
If anyone can just offer me something that has the word complete on it.
Yes.
It gives me such a sense of relief.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't, there's no more to get. You've got it all.
Adam, as a son, you're a complete disappointment. Oh,
thank God.
Thank God. Thank God that I've done it as thoroughly as possible.
The entire thing. The whole story of me being a bad son from start to finish. couple of indie games. Little Devil Inside, I think, looks like it might be cool. Do you remember that one?
Looks great.
I've been looking forward to this for years. Yeah. This was like a Kickstarter game that's been around for like a decade or something where they've just been gradually building it up. But yeah, looks awesome.
I agree. And Open Roads was another indie game that I thought looked really, really cool, which is that was the one where it was you and your mother going for a drive, like a long road trip. And there was something about the style of it and the preview that I saw that kind of hooked me. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. I never played the first Oxenfree, but people say it's good and there's a second one coming out. So I put that on here. I'm just going through
Sports Story. Very excited to that's been delayed a bunch. The sequel to Golf Story.
Yep.
It seems like they've really broadened the scope pretty massively, but I thought Golf Story was great. And
yes.
they're an Australian team too. Aren't they? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Very, very, very excited for that.
They haven't said that that'll be coming out this year too, but it's just kind of assumed because they had a 2021 release, I think, projected or something like that, and then kind of went quiet on it. So
yeah,
we'll see if that ends up happening.
And they've shown it a couple of times in the past 12 months. Yeah.
The other sort of indie game that I would say, I don't know if this counts as one actually, because it feels like it's been pretty promoted by Sony, but Stray looks really cool.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Cat robot game.
That was a big standout from whichever presentation that was in.
Yeah.
Was that the early
PS5 one,
reveal,
I think,
kind of one? Yeah, yeah. I thought that looked great.
Me too. Yeah. I'm really keen to it looks like exactly the sort of thing where if it's a rainy day, you put it on and you just vibe, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it on mute. Put on lo-fi hip-hop beats to study to in the background.
Put it on mute. Put old episodes of The Office on a different TV. Just watch them.
Yeah, put on like a 10-hour edit.
In your Sakurai-style living room that you have, yeah.
I don't know if you skipped this on purpose, Nox. I can't imagine you did, but Mario plus Rabbids 2 is also meant to come out in 2022.
Yeah, I just wanted to go through and do the other sort of indie games there. I don't know why I changed up that, but it just felt like I was just vibing with that
off.
Feeling at the time.
To
man.
Throw off your enemies.
Yeah, it threw me off. That's for damn sure.
Fuck the alphabet, dude. But yeah, Mario and Rabbids 2, very much looking forward to that. Tommy, especially out of the three of us, but all of us liked it, gobbled up that first game.
One of the biggest surprises since we started doing this pod.
Yeah,
right.
We all thought it looked like a terrible idea.
It being announced,
we're not
at
into
that,
it existing.
The Ubisoft press conference being the place where it was announced as well,
yes.
And it just really seemed like, oh, what are Nintendo doing?
Yep, yep. And early enough in the Switch being announced, where they were kind of on the ropes as well.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Like, is this console going to flop? And now they're palming off their characters to this company that sometimes make some pretty ordinary games with these characters that we kind of hate, but they pulled off a really fun game. The DLC was really fun. Excited to see more of this.
Absolutely, they're just like the tone of it and everything, and that XCOM style gameplay is really good, which is why I'm looking forward to Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is Marvel XCOM.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
XCOM in America. There's got to be a better one than that. Doctor Strange com.
XCOM Holland.
What about X-Men? What about X-Men?
No,
you know, it's
that doesn't
X-Men
make sense.
And XCOM.
I don't think they've shown too much of that or anything yet, but that is what that is. It's XCOM with Marvel characters, which could be cool.
Metroid Prime 4, you would have to imagine we see something of this year.
Right.
Hopefully. Something.
Yep.
Metroid's big again.
Shred. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I kind of, you know, I hadn't played one for a while. I was a bit like, you know, looking forward to this coming out because it's a, you know, it's a big Nintendo release and the others have been great. But certainly playing Dread has kind of gotten me back into the vibe of that world again. Mm. So, yeah, would love to see what's going on with this game.
Or just kill it. Like, either let us see it or just let us move on with our lives.
Right.
Because Nintendo's left us on red for years.
Yeah.
Right.
If we're talking announcements or reveals, that plus, like you mentioned, one of you guys mentioned before, Mario 3D. Like, Bowser's Fury was huge and it was like, what, starter last year? And
yep.
It was like hugely popular and well done and all of that stuff. Mm. But in terms of development time, we should be seeing a follow up to Odyssey. And based on Bowser's Fury, I'm into it.
Yeah.
There was a thing like in the last couple of weeks, there was like a leaker online who had like a few months ago had put out a thing where he was like, here's what's coming up. And one of those things was Mario Odyssey 2 with some details about it, and then like every other thing that he has predicted has since been announced.
Yeah.
And they were pretty like, one of them was like the open world Sonic game, I think was like the only other thing on his list that now people are like, oh shit, maybe this guy does know what he's talking about.
It was
about.
From a survey. It was like
He did market research for it, he reckons.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, would you want to fight Bowser in anymore? It's like all these like, he's got these like weird tidbits of just like, yeah, stuff that they asked him on a, yeah. On
yeah,
a
right.
Market research.
Can you slam this solo down fast or would you prefer it to be slower in a larger can for a man?
And also, would you play Sonic Frontiers?
Yeah.
That's the game, right? And that also is, I think, meant to come out this year?
It is.
And it had the name Frontiers in that like package or whatever as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like they were giving them options of names, but yes. So
right.
Would love to see some more Mario. Would also love to see what Redfall is, which is Arkane's co-op multiplayer game.
Right.
Arkane being the Deathloop Dishonored people.
Yep.
I dare say you'll see it while we play it together.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Because, yeah, we all had a great time with Deathloop and didn't, you know, we tried to do some of the online stuff. Yeah. I think specifically we tried to record it and it did not work.
Tried to do for a video, yeah.
Yeah, but fuck, yeah. Like, we've played a bunch of free-to-play co-op games in the past 12 months that were fun due to being free co-op games. If a genuinely great developer makes one, I'm sure, yeah, it'll be a ripper. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it'll be cool to find out some stuff about that. Basically, the opposite side of the spectrum and that it's a very much known quantity is Splatoon 3. I like Splatoon. Yep. Those are fun games. I'll play some more.
Yep.
Get over it. and Sonic Frontiers, we mentioned before, but I'm keen to see what that is. I have every expectation that it'll be, once again, classic Sonic dog shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't have high hopes, but yeah, it's... You know, maybe they're due a win because it concept wise in that teaser trailer, it looked great in that.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone can gussy up a teaser to look good, but yeah, if they fulfill the promise of that, it'll be great. But yeah, not a lot of reasons to be optimistic about anything that Sonic Team put their hands to.
Yeah. The Lord
their
of the
wins,
Rings
the wins they had have been the movies. The movies, well,
right.
I mean, the first
right.
one. And
right.
we think
what
the second one looks
in.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I know, that second one does look good, hey, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing that this year, more probably, like you say, than playing the actual Sonic game that they're considering putting out. Aren't they making a Sonic Mania 2 as well? Isn't that somewhere being worked on in the background? Am I imagining that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I would love that to be true because I fucking loved the first one.
That was maybe the good Sonic game.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it wasn't made by Sonic Team.
No.
Apparently, there were reports in October that it was being developed and has been scrapped.
Oh, no.
Ah, damn.
So, yeah, classic Sega.
That news came in and flew out like a blur.
Now you're blue.
A couple other big games. I don't like the look of the Lord of the Rings Golem, but I want to see what it is.
Yeah, I want to like it.
Yeah.
I agree, but I want to like it. Yeah, what else? There was a few other ones alphabetically that we...
Oh, that Dragon Ball game looks cool.
Yeah.
Like 8-on-1.
Yes.
The Suicide Squad game.
Yes.
Interested to see that.
That the gameplay they showed of that from the wherever that was, maybe that was like the DC fandom thing or whatever. Whenever they showed off some gameplay
quite recently.
Of that. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League looks like fun in the same way that those Arkham games did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I think the big, unless there's some other...
there's some other big ones. Dragon Age 4 is meant to come out this year.
I reckon that won't happen.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've seen fuck all about it, but, you know, it's... this series used to be one of the big AAA, you know, big hitters.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be cool. I think, like, I'd love to play a good Dragon Age game and have a fun fantasy role-playing thing. The thing that game will be to me, though, is, like, an indication of how much to look forward to that new Mass Effect that they're making.
Yes.
Which is the one that I really want to be good.
Yep. I probably completely agree.
But the biggest big one for me this year that hopefully comes out this year that I'm looking forward to a lot because it is the sequel to one of the best games of all time is Breath of the Wild 2.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Supposedly out this year. I think it'll happen.
I think
maybe
so too.
Maybe that's naive. I could see it being very end of the year. I could see it being their big holiday game.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably pretty soon we'll get a better look at it because the little glimpse that we did see was I still think that was such a weird little trailer. It really seemed like it had been edited together quite hastily and perhaps against the development team's will. Perhaps they weren't ready to show it off yet because it lacked that sort of polish that their trailer, certainly for a very first look of such an anticipated thing that they usually have. But I would think that, I mean, there's probably going to be a Nintendo Direct at the start of the year and you'd think that'd be the time that we probably see an actual title for it and
maybe
a bit more of what it is. Mm. Or maybe it's their E3 because heaps of Nintendo, pretty much all of Nintendo's back end of this year was stuff that was only announced at E3. So
I would guess
maybe we'll be waiting until then.
They do tend to have a big January one. And I would assume that that is going to be focused on like Splatoon probably because that'll be their first big game that I would guess would come out in like May. And then
and maybe Kirby.
Right, maybe Kirby too. And then, I reckon you're right. Big Breath of the Wild thing at E3. That's interesting about that trailer though because that first trailer for the first Breath of the Wild had like orchestrated music that wasn't even in the game that they made for this trailer. It had a very cinematic and put together.
It was so precise. And then this one was just, it seemed like... It looked like when you're kind of like randomly flicking around trying to find a certain part in like an episode or something on Netflix and you're just doing the like skip forward by 10 seconds. It was this B-roll real kind of grab bag that lacked their usual sort of like a game like that you would think would have like a big. Yeah, we'll never know what the story was there, but I think they kind of got pushed into revealing it before they were probably ready.
And it didn't answer what like my big question about that game is, which is like, is the map the same map as the first one? Which I think they kind of said like, yeah, it is. But how much has it changed? Will it be fun to explore again if you've like hammered that first one in the way that I have? So, but I'm still very much looking forward to it because, yeah, it's a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got me.
Hellblade 2 I'm pumped for, and again that's meant to be sort of a bit of a visual showcase. There was another one that I just fucking had the Avatar game, Frontiers of Pandora.
I'm interested.
New gen / PC exclusive. It's not on PS4 or the Xbox Ones. Skeptical, I have to say, but interested.
Yeah, I thought the trailer looked good. I think I did, just rewatched the movie at the time, so yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm interested.
Yeah, me too.
I feel the same way about the Avatar 2, the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
There is the potential for there to be a world by the end of 22. Where there is a good Avatar game and movie coming out this year, which feels fucking strange.
Yeah. Avatar's fully back in a big way. It's funny that just like the sequel, like the number two of this franchise is coming out and it's like kind of tapping into nostalgia.
Yeah. because it's just
taken so long. It's like people like us are like, yeah, I remember going to see that when I was like, what, 20?
That's a really good point. Getting all excited about 3D.
I don't know that's
3D.
Often the case, but it hasn't deliberately been done as a, you know, like sometimes they'll do that where it's like, yeah, many, many years after the fact and they're playing into the fact that they've rebooted it. But yeah, this isn't a reboot. This was meant to happen relatively quickly and it's been so long.
Yeah,
that's really creepy. Well,
And there's one more thing. This game has been delayed as much as Avatar 2, I think. The next Vampire Bloodlines, The Masquerade, proper game. Because Blood Hunt was under that branding and there is another one, I think, like a different kind of game.
I think like sort of almost visual novel adventure games that have been coming out for a while.
Yeah.
Of those. I reckon that game will either be cancelled or come out a mess or something because it's been such a strange roller coaster of a development for that game.
Yeah.
So, I was really looking forward to that and excited for it when it got announced and it's completely fallen off for me. But
yeah,
still like you, yes, interested to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
With something we could really sink our teeth into.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty good. It's for the true rice heads out there.
Wow, I'm gonna edit that out. I don't think you can say that anymore.
People who love Anne Rice.
All right, fucking Clint Eastwood. Jesus.
I'm one last one that I'm looking forward to, the Monster Hunter Rise DLC.
Oh sure, yeah.
Playing more of that game will be fun.
Yeah.
Fuck. I guess we did not list DLC. There probably is a whole bunch.
Oh, we did. You know, we did Cuphead. I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a whole bunch of, I mean, because we're, that's the other, that is the actual main thing I'm looking forward to this year, other than Elden Ring, is seeing PS5 games and Xbox Series X games get properly announced and like actually shifting into this kind of next generation of stuff here.
Yes. Yep.
That'll be really cool to see. I want to see good graphics. I want to see big, in-your-face attitudes.
Oh.
Gameplay? You better believe I'm looking for that. Because true gamers are all about the gameplay.
Yeah, I do. I'm one of the weirdos. I like the gameplay. But yeah, as I said at the start of this episode about 3 hours ago, the indie games that we don't know about, the ones that aren't on the radars, a fucking shit ton of great Australian games came out last year that were genuinely, they were in our top tens. Excited for some more of that. And excited to be surprised by things that are not on the radar.
Yeah, I think, I'm sure this happens every year, but Deathloop is the one I can really vividly recall. I'm pretty confident that all of us, when we were looking ahead to it, were a bit sort of interested, but I don't think any of us were confident that it would be a Game of the Year contender. I think we thought maybe a bit of fun. It wasn't super clear what it was, so... Yeah, who knows? Maybe Forspoken will end up being our number one game of the year of 2022. It's like it's the stuff that we don't even know exists yet, but also the stuff that we're a little cold on in previews that ends up, because it goes both ways. There were indies that I was really looking forward to this year that left me a little cold.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Yep.
Third year in a row where the only surprises I'm looking forward to are video game related. Everything else, no surprises, please.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'd better wrap it up for another week. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. We're going to do a bit of a catch up of what we've been playing over the last three or so weeks. Recording. But until then, you can get onto our Patreon. You can support the show, which we very much appreciate you doing. You can pay whatever you want, but for a certain amount, you will get a bonus episode every week and you'll get early access to the YouTube videos that we do. They are, of course, also available for free on our YouTube channel. That we've got Let's Plays, we've got one-off videos. We put about two up a week most weeks. We've also got the Bandcamp where you can get premium extra long episodes of the show where we do deep dives into franchises and publishers and things like that.
Yeah, we just did all of that. The latest one of those, we did every single Star Wars video game that has been released for console and PC. That's accurate, right? Yeah. We didn't cover every arcade game, but we did basically every Star Wars video game. So if you like Star Wars and video games, which I have a sneaking suspicion, if you're listening to this, you might. filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com, and you get it for a minimum donation of $1. But if you really like us, you could pay more if you want. I'm just saying. I'm just letting you know.
If you like the idea of us having cold hard cash.
Yeah.
But filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all that stuff. Guys, thank you very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I really think this year is going to be my year. I think this is the one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.